our Blessed Mother's words to Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia, proclaiming who she was at Fatima. I am the Lady of the Rosary. Now, many, if not all of you, know the facts about the Rosary, how this feast being instituted to honor Mary for the victory against the Turks at Lepanto on October the 7th, 1571. Pope St. Pius X, having asked all Christians to pray for victory, pray the Psalter of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Rosary. In 1716, at Belgrade, the Turks were again defeated twice in two battles, which prompted Pope Clement the 11th to make it the feast, or a feast, of the Universal Church. Now, the praying of the Rosary is linked to an early practice way back in the time of the early monks and hermits, both those that were religious and lay people who were unable to recite the 150 psalms, either because of work, working out in the fields all day, or because they were illiterate. They were unable to pray the official prayer of the church, the psalms, the 150 psalms, also known as the divine office. They would pray 150 Our Fathers and or 150 Hail Marys. In the early part of the 13th century, St. Dominic was battling a heresy, the heresy of Albigensians, and he was getting nowhere. He felt himself not making headway, but losing ground. And so he turned to our Blessed Mother, who appeared to him and gave him the Rosary. Now, there are some through the centuries, from the time of St. Dominic to now, who would consider this a legend. And even so now, you have even Dominicans who would question the authenticity of this happening. If you ask me, this is the work of modernists who know how powerful the Rosary is, and how, if we can cause there to be doubt in the mind, especially of the convert, human nature might take place in justifying not saying the Rosary. But one just has to look at the history of the church, and you can note the many popes and saints who have promoted the Rosary and have pointed to St. Dominic having received it. Leo X, Pius V, Gregory XI, Sixtus V, Clement VIII, Alexander VII, Innocent XI, Clement XI, Innocent XIII, Benedict XIV, Pope Pius X, Pope Pius XI, Pope Pius XII, and many others. Leo XIII added the invocation to the Rosary, or to the litany that we pray at the end of the Rosary. Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, pray for us. In the 16th century, we find the present form that we have three sets of mysteries: the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious, the 15 decades. And it's a perfect mixture, a proper prayer that you can pray on your own or with others. Vocal prayer and meditation. If we take a look at the account that you can find in this book written by St. Louis Marie de Montfort, The Secret of the Rosary. If you haven't read this book, you should. If you're feeling a need for hope, read this book. Read a chapter a day. St. Louis de Montfort recounts the vision of Our Lady to St. Dominic, where she appeared to him with three angels, and she said, "Dear Dominic, do you know which weapon the Blessed Trinity wants to use to reform the world?" "Oh, my lady," answered St. Dominic, "you know far better than I do, because next to your Son, Jesus Christ, you have always been the chief instrument of our salvation." Then Our Lady replied, "I want you to know that in this kind of warfare, the battering ram has always been the angelic psalter, which is the foundation stone of the New Testament. Therefore, if you want to reach these hardened souls and win them over to God, preach my psalter." And of course we know St. Dominic, having preached the rosary, amazing conversions took place and amazing miracles. St. Dominic is reported to say that through the rosary and the scapular, the world will be saved. Which brings me back to the epistle for this Mass. It talks about before things that were created, and it points to our Blessed Mother and says that she was there. In other words, it's all in God's plan. She's the instrument. She is the woman of history. Scripture, speaking for her, says to us today on this feast, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me and that watches daily at my gates and waiteth at the post of my doors. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways." And here is the thought that I would like to definitely leave you with as we open up this conference. There is a difference between praying the rosary and saying the rosary. And if we just say the rosary, it's not very efficacious. I'm sure our Blessed Mother, being a good mother, like any good mother, would find value in even the poor work of their child, will find value when we say the Hail Mary and the rosary without much thought. But if we were to give it thought, what is the lesson there? We make the mysteries our mysteries. Not something that happened 2,000 years ago, but we awaken ourselves to the spiritual realities that are right before our eyes. We understand. And we would be able to abide with those mysteries more closely and benefit from those mysteries. For example, Our Lady's obedience, her submission. "Be it done unto me according to thy word." And then what happened? The word was made flesh. God was with us. God became man in the womb of the Blessed Virgin. And since that time, to this time here, today, in this building, in this room, in that tabernacle, and soon to be on that altar, God is with us. Wow. With you, with me. We see the working of God's grace through our Blessed Mother to Elizabeth. And St. John has original sin wiped away. And then we live through the mysteries. Of course, we have the presentation and the finding of our Lord in the temple. Meditate on the mysteries of obedience. Here we remember that Christ's longest sermon was a silent one of obedience, and he was subject to them. He, God, made man. And then this was reiterated, or is reiterated, in the sorrowful mysteries. Not my will, but thine be done. And we find these words in the epistles of Saint Paul, where he says, Christ being God did not see it something to be clung to, but became obedient even to the death of the cross. Does this happen at the Mass? Absolutely. He allows us to consume. Just like he allowed our sins to consume his life on Calvary. And if we allow him to consume us within, then we're empowered. Then we have that hope. And we can appreciate and rejoice in that hope in time to a limited degree, and of course to eternity. There's a joy and a peace of soul when we allow Christ to rise within us. And we know, as we meditate on the ascension, his words, last words to the apostles, where he says, I'm with you. I am with you all days, even to the end of time. And even at Mass, the feast of Pentecost takes place. Christ, having come down to earth and was with man for a limited amount of time, died, and then came back and was with his disciples, his followers, and apostles for a limited amount of time, left, but he didn't leave them orphans. He says, it's expedient that I go. I will send the Paraclete, and he'll make all things known to you. Doesn't that take place when we receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? He's with us for a limited amount of time, and then he leaves, but does he leave us alone? He's with us about 15 minutes in the Eucharistic presence. But when he leaves, there is an increase in sanctifying grace. That Spirit, which St. Paul says we must stir up within us, must call upon the Holy Spirit so we can be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation. And of course, the last two mysteries point to the end of the story. If we were to have victory, we see how he treats his mother with the greatest of honor, will not even let the dust of the earth settle on her body, but assumes her body and reunites it with her soul, and then crowns her queen of heaven and earth. Because she is the woman of history who will crush the head of the devil and who has crushed him through the centuries. These are not the mysteries of the rosary. These should be our mysteries of the rosary. We live them. We abide in them. We follow the examples that we see in them, especially in our obedience to the Gospels and teachings of the Church and the traditions that have been laid down before us so clearly. What a world we live in has changed drastically within the last year since we met here. We have this COVID situation that we're all dealing with, which seems to have turned our world upside down, and everybody's just so fearful of this virus. You know what I can't help think is, if we were to just have half the care for the things that are detrimental to our spiritual well-being, how much better the world would be. And then we have the other half of the world going crazy. We have protests, riots in our own country. It's almost as if, I shouldn't say almost as if, it is, that the devil knows that his hour is running out, that hour of darkness, which he has been given. The devil has the hour, but we, with Christ, have the day. We don't need to worry about that loser. Is he powerful, more powerful than we are? Yes. We, of and by ourselves, we can't contend with him. His tricks and traps are far too great. But we don't have to contend with him by ourselves. Christ before he died, gave his mother to be our mother if we were to accept her. And we call upon our mother to wrap her mantle of protection over us and around us. And when she does so, and she does when we ask with sincerity, like St. Bernard says, never was it known that anyone who fled to her for protection, implored her help, or sought her intercession was left unaided. As we gather here during this conference to renew our devotion to our Blessed Mother and to check ourselves, far too often it's easy just to point at all the troubles that are out there in the world, and we forget to point at ourselves and ask, am I being an instrument of Christ? Am I doing what I need to do? When I kneel down and pray the rosary, do I pray it or do I say it? Is there fervor in my prayer? Do I really petition our Blessed Mother to pray for me now and at the hour of my death? Do I have that faith in those mysteries I'm supposed to meditate on and know that of all the mysteries, the predominant thing is the love of God? God so loved the world to send his only begotten Son, and the Son so loved us that he laid down his life. And then do I connect that devotion with my attendance at the holy sacrifice of the Mass and appreciate the gifts that I have been given? The gifts that we have here today, so many have had in the past and no longer have it, because it has been not appreciated and the enemies of the church have tried to destroy it. But you and I have it. Why? Are we special? No, these are great gifts that we need to appreciate and show ourselves grateful by making good use of these gifts. Remember what our Lord says. Not he who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does. We can meditate on the mysteries, but we have to follow, right? Isn't that what we pray? Meditating upon these mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that we may imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.